Tassim climbed on board and found a place against the hull. He had to hold his backpack on his lap because there was no room beside him or in front of him. Towards the prow, a baby was crying. Tassim leaned forward to try to see it. The mother was older than he expected, her face worn and tight. Once they were all on board, one of the men appeared with an armful of life jackets that he started to hand out, but they were nowhere near enough. Several of the men stood and argued with them, but then another pair of men appeared and produced a gun. The two men backed away, hands raised. A few minutes later, the engine coughed into life, and the man with the lazy eye cast them off. The sun was up now, huge and yellow on the horizon, its heat already unbearable. The boat chugged ahead slowly, heavy in the water, and the fumes from the diesel settled over them as they motored out onto the ocean. Although the sky was blue, to the east clouds were visible, heavy and grey, their vast weight like an explosion. As they cleared the breakwater, the swell grew larger, so the boat bounced and rolled and spray flew up from time to time. Tassim had been on boats before, so he was prepared for it, but many of the others clearly weren't, and their faces grew drawn and tightened as the boat pitched and yawed. They'd been told the journey would take 4 days, but now they're on the boat, Tassim couldn't see how that was going to work. Where was the water, to start with? Or the food? There were no toilets either, only a bucket they had to use huddled in the corner, the contents of which were pitched overboard. As the day wore on, people began to faint in the still heavy heat, or fight over the paltry shade in the whales. In the middle of the day, the two men who had loaded them onto the boat moved between them, handing out plastic bottles of water. Tassim snatched his and pressed it to his lips. He tried to pace himself, but it was gone in a couple of sips, and he was still impossibly thirsty. Late in the afternoon, as the sun began to sink, a breeze came up. At first, the movement of air was a relief. But as the sun sank towards the horizon, the breeze grew stronger and the swell began to rise, throwing the boat here and there and dousing Tassim and the others with spray, while ahead of them clouds loomed above the horizon. Nobody spoke, but Tassim knew the others were watching the clouds as well. When at last darkness fell, the flicker of the lightning was visible on three sides. In the bleak glow of the light over the deck, the faces of his fellow passengers were ashen. There wasn't enough room to lie down, so Tassim leaned forward, trying to rest his head on his knees. His stomach muscles ached, and finally he twisted sideways and tried to curl up on his side. He was so tired he could barely keep his eyes open, yet he couldn't sleep. The baby was crying and people were sobbing and moaning. Closing his eyes, he tried to blot it all out and surrender to his exhaustion. Although he didn't remember falling asleep, he must have, because at some point, deep in the night, he woke. The water around them was black, the night heat heavy. But overhead, the clouds had cleared, and the Milky Way dusted the moonless sky. Nearby, somebody was panting in distress. He couldn't bear to look. The second day was worse than the first. The sea was calmer, but it was hotter, and people were thirstier. A few hours after sunrise, there was a wail from a middle-aged man near the wheelhouse. Tassim remembered him from the dock, where his expensive trousers and shirt had stood out. He was kneeling over a woman, his face pressed close to her and shaking her. He looked around, tears on his cheeks, and cried out for help, but nobody responded. Instead, the people closest to him turned away, as if his pain embarrassed them. After a few minutes, two of the sailors appeared. One rolled the woman from side to side, her body lolling loosely, while the sailor with the lazy eye placed a hand on the man's shoulder and leaned in to speak to him. The man shook his head violently and pushed the sailor's hand away. The sailor with the lazy eye just laughed his peculiar laugh and turned to his companion and pointed to the side of the boat. Realising what they were suggesting, Tassim caught his breath. The husband cried out, telling them they couldn't, but they ignored him, and the other sailor bent down and threw the woman's body over his shoulder. The husband got to his feet, grabbing at her and shouting, but the man with the lazy eye stepped between his companion and the husband. He was still smiling, his expression oddly jovial, but suddenly Tassim realised his laughter was in fact a kind of threat, something the husband clearly hadn't understood, because he kept shouting and pushing, until without warning, the man with the lazy eye punched him in the side of the head, sending him tumbling onto the others seated around him. The man landed awkwardly. There were cries of anger and pain. Meanwhile, the sailor with the body had reached the side of the boat, and with a grunt, he heaved the woman's body over. Behind him, the man had stumbled back to his feet and was scrambling towards them. As the woman's body hit the water with a heavy splash and slid beneath the surface, he reached over the side in an effort to grab her, but it was too late. For a few minutes, the man hung there, staring after her, but then he turned and slid down, murmuring something, a prayer perhaps, While the two crewmen turned away and headed back towards the wheelhouse, the man with the lazy eye surveying the deck with his loose, slightly unhinged grin as if nothing had happened. By nightfall, two more had died, an older woman and a girl of 6 or 7. Both times they were thrown overboard without ceremony or delay, their loved ones left to mourn in silence. At dusk, the sailors brought more water, although there wasn't enough to go around. Tassim was one of the lucky ones. He drained half his bottle and then stopped and handed the rest to a family near him. Despite those few mouthfuls, the second night was worse than the first. In the darkness, people moaned and sobbed while one woman kept wailing in grief. Tassim was dizzy with thirst, his lips and skin so burned by the sun he could hardly keep his eyes open. But when he slept, his dreams were dreadful, nightmares of loss and pain. By dawn, there were 6 more dead. One by one, they were hefted over the side and left behind, their bodies floating in the dark water, clothing spread out. There was no water that morning. Around them, the ocean spread out to the horizon, as if they were adrift in the middle of nowhere. As the sun rose higher, Tassim put his t-shirt over his head to try to keep it off and lay down on the deck. He must have slept for a time, for in the middle of the afternoon he woke to shouting, and pulling the t-shirt away, squinted around. Two of the crewmen were pointing up into the sky and yelling. Tassim tried to make out what they were looking at. At first he saw nothing, then a flash of something white. A drone. One of the crewmen disappeared back into the wheelhouse, and a moment later the pitch of the engine changed and the boat sped up. Tassim tried to think through what it meant, what would come now. He had heard the Australians disabled ships like theirs, left them drifting, but how could that be worse than this? Dazedly he got to his feet. Perhaps 12 people were already gone. Those that were left looked half dead, but on every side the ocean was blue and empty, an immensity without beginning or end. As the afternoon wore on, the mood on the boat changed. There were more deaths, but nobody came to throw the bodies over. Instead, the crewmen came down every now and then and walked about the deck, scanning the horizon with binoculars. Then a couple of hours before sunset, there was a shout from the side, and the sailor who had thrown the first woman overhead turned to the wheelhouse, pointing to the northwest. Tassim got to his feet, his legs unsteady and weak behind him. In the distance, the dark shape of a ship was visible on the horizon. The crewman with the binoculars waved his arm, spinning it as if winding something up, and the boat pushed forward. They motored hard for the next hour, the engine straining and smoking. Behind them, the ship had grown larger, its outline visible. But as dark approached, clouds began to gather to the south and the east, and a fitful wind began to blow. Around Tassim, the passengers who were still conscious began to murmur with concern. As the clouds rose up above them, the sky turned green and the water grew dark. And then with a sudden crack of thunder, the squall hit them, the wind slamming into the boat and flinging spray across them. The storm grew worse as night overtook them, rain and wind lashing the boat. Tassim held his face up and drank the falling water, then squeezed his soaking t-shirt into his mouth. Around him, people slipped and sprawled as the boat pitched and rolled in the dark, vomit and other fluids mingling with the water on the deck. An hour passed, then another, and then a beam of light cut through the rain and a ship loomed out of the darkness beside them. An amplified voice shouted unintelligibly, the sense of the words torn away by the keening wind. He wondered whether they were planning to board them, but then the ship was gone again and they were alone. Finally, the rain stopped and the lightning and thunder moved off. The engine was quiet. Whether that was because the crew had turned it off or because it was damaged wasn't clear. Although he didn't mean to, Tassim must have slept, because the next thing he knew he was jolted awake by a cry. The sky overhead was grey, and people were shouting and crawling about. Looking down, he saw water rising around his legs. He stood up unsteadily, confused. A bearded man grabbed him by the arms and shouted something in his face, but a wave washed over while he was talking, and when it passed he was no longer there. Looking around in confusion, Tassim realised they were sinking. Beside the boat, 3 of the crewmen were clambering into a Zodiac. Tassim splashed towards them, but the water was up to his thighs now, and a moment later another wave washed over the deck, bearing him over the side and into the water. There was a moment as he sank beneath the surface when he felt total calm. There was no up, no down, no sound besides the groan of the ship in the water and the echo of voices in the distance. And then he was up in the air again, floundering. There were people all around him in the water, shouting and screaming. Something collided with him. He grabbed at it and found it was a hunk of wood with a piece of rope attached to it. He pulled himself up onto it and wrapped the rope around his wrist, refusing to let go. Pressing his face into the wet surface of the wood, he closed his eyes and slid down into darkness. When he slept, he dreamed of the boat, and when he woke, he dreamed of it again. He was there now. He would always be there.